Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Well, growing up, our family had a dog named Yogi. He was a Buddha bull, and man, Yogi have an appetite of note? I mean, this dog ate anything and everything. He would jump in on tables and grab the top of biscuits out of the packet. He would eat hot dogs. You wouldn't even have to worry about dropping food on the floor because there's Yogi, he'd eat it. He'd be on the other end of the property. Drop food on the floor, don't worry. There's Yogi, he's eating the food. You would even have to watch him while you feed the dogs, and all of a sudden he vacuums up his food and then goes, you're done there. Just looking over the other dog, you know, like, you finished. Can I help you? Okay. He'd like drag the bowl out and then grab it with his mouth and run off and eat the food as well. He had an appetite of note. And I got thinking and remembering this and remembering Yogi, and it got me thinking about the appetites and the hunger we have as people. And Jesus actually speaks on the Sermon on the Mount about a hunger and a thirst. But not one of physical food and drink, but one that's going to satisfy our souls and our spirits. Matthew 5 verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The title of the message today is Hungry? Hungry? Okay, so I can imagine that there's a lot going on, you know, in the scripture. There's hungry, there's thirsty, there's righteousness, there's filled. What's going on? And what's on this plate? Well, don't you find it a bit frustrating when you go to maybe like a wedding or a funeral or maybe a friend's house and they dish you up a plate of food and you're like, okay, but what is this? You know, you're like looking at the food and what is this? Yeah, but good old Roy, you know, Roy, we all have a Roy in our lives, right? He comes in and he's like, let me help you out. That, my friend, yeah, that right there, that is lasagna. I don't know why Roy has an accent, but I mean, he has an accent. But he helps you out. You figure out what's on the plate and you're like, okay, it's lasagna. Now I can enjoy this meal. You know, I know what it is. Now I can enjoy it. Well, that's what it's going to be like today. We're going to unpack Matthew 5 verse 6, and we're going to figure out what's on this plate. And we're going to be at the end of the day, now I can enjoy what Jesus has for me here in Matthew 5 verse 6. Well, let's jump in. Righteousness. It's a big word, right? But we know what it means. We know what righteousness is, right? Righteousness. Righteousness, right? What's righteousness? What really is righteousness? It's a big word, but it's a beautiful word. When we get to the essence and the heart of what righteousness really means, it changes our perspective of God and the way we live life. So what is righteousness? Righteousness is two things. It's in the Greek, it's the word dikaiosune. Dikaiosune. It's two things. It's God's character and it's our right standing. Dikaiosune. It's God's character. It's who God is. Just like God is truthful, God is good, God is kind, God is faithful, God is righteous. He does right. It's in his nature. It's who he is. God is righteous. It says in Psalm 145 verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. Dikaiosune. It's also the character and quality of our being. So it's our correctness, our rightness, our justice, it's in everything that we think about, our actions, our emotions. It's our right standing. I love this definition. It says, it's the state of us, you and I, as we ought to be. It is approved of or acceptable to God. It's our right standing with God, who is already righteous. Dikaiosune. Billy Graham says it like this: righteousness means to be right with God. It means a life that is in harmony with the will of God. So now that we've got a bit of an understanding of what righteousness is, it's God's character, it's who he is, it's our right standing with God who is already righteous. But there's an issue there. There's an issue here because we can't as people be automatically in right standing with God who is already righteous. See, yes, we were created to be in right standing with God. We were created to have a friendship with Jesus, but sin entered the world. Sin entered the world right in the beginning with Adam and Eve and separated us from God. And so we can't automatically now be in right standing with God. So what do we do? How do we do that? How do we be in right standing with God? Well, the answer is simple. It's Jesus. It's through Jesus that we are in right standing with God. And can I say, church, this is not something that's earned. You know, righteousness is not something that's earned. We can't pay it off. We can't bribe our way to be having righteousness or being in right standing with God. We can't do good deeds to be in right standing with God. We can stand on our heads, right? Juggle three basketballs and sing Living on a Prayer. Because, I mean, how impressive is that, right? That'd be cool. But we nothing that we do can earn our right standing with God. Romans 3 verse 22 says this, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. What we can do, friends, is place our faith in Jesus. That's what we can do. It's through Jesus Christ that we have right standing with God. It's through Jesus Christ that we are made righteous. Dallas Willard says, righteousness is a gift of grace. We can't earn this, church. We can't pay it off. We can't do good things. It is a gift from Jesus Christ who died on the cross and rose again. It's a gift that we have from Jesus. And that's how we are in right standing with God. Now we have a basic understanding of what righteousness is. It's God's character. It's our right standing with a God who's already righteous. And we're made righteous through Jesus Christ, through the gift that he's given us. But the scripture is saying, yeah, now we need to hunger and thirst for this. Well, how do we hunger and thirst with right standing with God? How do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Well, we hunger and thirst for righteousness by having a hunger and thirst for the one who made us righteous, Jesus. We hunger and thirst for righteousness by having a hunger and thirst for the one who made us righteous, Jesus Christ. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So let's turn our attention to hunger and thirst. What is it? What does it mean to hunger and thirst? What does it look like for us as God's people to hunger and thirst? Well, having a hunger and thirst is simply having a genuine interest in the things that God is interested in. Having a genuine interest in the things that God is interested in. Having an interest in God, having an interest in the things of God, having an interest in what God is interested in. And what does that look like for us as people? Well, there's a few things. First of all, it looks like loving people. Everyone. I mean, everyone, not just the people we love. It's easy to love friends and family, right? That's easy. But what about the colleagues that, you know, grind our gears a little too much, you know? Just over the board. Or about that taxi that pulled us, that pulled in front of us the other day. Whew. It's difficult to love those people, right? Or the person that said something Jesus said that we should love those who hate us and pray for those who persecute us. Let's love people, everyone. God is interested in loving people, every single person on this planet. So let's love people. It looks like us standing up for justice. You know, there are so many injustices in the world. In fact, there are so many injustices in our own country. Church, look around. The education, poverty, gender-based violence, the racism. There are so many injustices in our country. God is interested in them. God is interested in seeing them resolved. We should be too. We should be interested in the injustices and seeing them resolved. It looks like us living a life and desiring to live a holy life. You know, God says, be holy for I am holy. He desires us to live holy. So church, what are we thinking about? What are we saying in our days? What are we looking at in our everydays? The things that we do and who we are we, is it honoring to God? Are these things honoring to God in our everyday lives? God is desiring and interested in us living a holy life. We should be too. We should be interested in making those steps to living a holy life. It looks like us living a life of generosity. A generosity in every single area of our lives. Generosity in our time. You know, giving people time that even we might not even have. But saying, hey, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to help you move. I'm going to be there when you need me, even if I don't have time. Because I'm going to be generous with it. Or being generous with our finances, helping those who are really in need. Helping those that might not have what we have in our circles around us, in our communities. Being generous in our finances to give to the church to help build God's kingdom. Being generous in our talents and our skills. You know, every single one of us, church, we have a wonderful, beautiful talent and skill that God has blessed us with. Let's use it to worship God. Let's serve Him. Let's be generous with our talents. Let's use it for God. Let's serve His people with it. God is interested in these things. God is interested in us being generous with our whole lives. And can I say this interest that we talk about, this interest is not something casual. I mean, this is not a casual interest where it's, okay, cool. No, this is something deep. This is something that hits deep. In fact, Jesus even turns the words around in the Greek here, because the Greek words for hunger and thirst here, they normally would use it with partial objects. So for example, I'm hungry for some bread, or I'm thirsty for some water. But Jesus flips it over here, and when he uses it in the scripture, he says, no, I'm hungry for all the bread and I'm thirsty for all the water. It's a deep hunger and thirst, a deep interest, saying, hey, if I don't get this, I'm going to die. A deep hunger and thirst. So let's have that deep hunger, not just a casual one, a deep hunger and thirst, a deep interest in the things of God, a deep interest in what God is interested in. Matthew 5 verse 6 says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. What happens then if we lose our hunger? I mean, it happens. I mean, you go through the day, you get a plate of food in front of you, and then all of a sudden, I'm not hungry, so you push it aside. You know, I'll eat the next meal. And it happens in our spiritual. But if I don't get there, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. And then the next day comes and you're like, you know what? Tomorrow's another day. I'll do it. And then tomorrow comes and then again, you know what? Tomorrow's another day. And then tomorrow comes and, you know what? Tomorrow's another day. And it becomes a cycle. We lose this hunger. What happens when we lose that hunger? Church, can I say that being hungry is a good thing? You know that hunger is a sign of health in our bodies. When we get sick, what happens? We lose our appetite. You know, our bodies are saying, hey, there's something there. Something's wrong. Something's just not right. And I'm not hungry. I'm not healthy. So what do? Okay, we go to the doctor. Okay, cool. We get medication. We get vitamins. We do what we need to do in order to get ourselves back to a place of health so that we can be hungry again. We're intentional about that, right? Well, it's the same with our spiritual lives. Spiritual hunger is a sign of spiritual health. When we as Christ followers are not hungry for the things of God, for righteousness, for Jesus, something's wrong. You know, something in there saying, hey, red flags, it's not happening. Something's not healthy. So we need to find out what's happening. What is it? What's keeping us from being hungry and thirsty for righteousness? What's keeping us from being hungry and thirsty for Jesus? You know, there's a number of things. And there's a number of things in our lives. I mean, culture in our lives. There's people in our lives who are genuinely just not interested in the things of God. They're just not interested in the things of God. And the devil tries to use that. He tries to use that to influence us so that we don't have an interest, so that we don't have a hunger and thirst for righteousness, for Jesus. And there are many things that can keep us from being hungry and thirsty for Jesus. And in a sec, I'm going to name a few things. And sometimes these things can be like in our face, bam, right there. We know exactly what it is. We know exactly what's holding us back. It's there. But sometimes these things are subtle. And sometimes these things don't, you don't know what it is like right away. But it is holding us back. So I'm gonna give us a list now. And this is not a complete list either. But I want us to reflect right now and just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what that thing might be in each of us, because each of us are different. And just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what that might be that might be holding us back from being hungry and thirsty. Maybe it's unconfessed sin in our lives. It's just that sin that you've never brought to the light and something you keep struggling with and you just, it's there. Maybe it's distractions. There's so many distractions in our lives. Social media, our phones, sometimes our friends, movies and series. There's so many distractions that can keep us. Maybe it's the busyness of life. Sure, work, studies, kids, you name it. Life is busy. We know this. But is it keeping us from being hungry and thirsty? Maybe it's the disappointment. Maybe you're facing a disappointment right now. Maybe you didn't get that promotion. Maybe you got laid off. Maybe your marriage didn't work out the way you had planned it. A disappointment that's holding us back. Or maybe it's a trial and testing season. A financial one, a health one. You just feel like you're walking up this mountain. You're just trying to climb. And as you climb, it gets steeper and steeper and steeper and steeper. And you just can't get there. Or maybe it's unforgiveness. Someone said something to you about you, to your family or friends, and you just can't forgive them. And maybe that's turned to bitterness. Maybe it's bitterness. You're just holding that grudge. You can't. It's just like, ugh. These are just some things that can hold us back from being hungry and thirsty. But let's be intentional about identifying what it is in our lives. Because blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So how do we practically get to a place of health again? You know, we've identified some stuff that is keeping us back from being hungry and thirsty. But now, how do we get onto the other spectrum? How do we get healthy again? How do we get to a place of health? How do we practically hunger and thirst for righteousness? Practically hunger and thirst for Jesus? I've got 5 thoughts for us today. 5 thoughts that have personally helped me and are still helping me at this moment. And I'm really hoping that it helps you today. I call it the 5 P's. I mean, we're talking about food, you know, so P-E-A-S. I'm going to put some P's on the plate now. And the 5 P's, and these are practical thoughts. The first one is pray. Church, we can ask God to give us a hunger for him. His word says that we can, and he hears us. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. 1 John 5, verse 14. This is a confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. We can ask God for this hunger. We can ask it for him. He hears us. There are so many great examples in scripture. Moses asking God for God's presence. David asking for a clean heart. Esther asking for courage and favor. The woman at the well asking for living water. These are great examples who asked God according to his will, and he heard them. Jesus wants us to ask. He wants us to ask. He's asking us to hunger and thirst. It's according to his will. So let's pray. Let's ask God for that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for him. The second one is plug in. This is really just being with Jesus. You know, the different ways we can be with Jesus: through scripture, through worship, through prayer. You know, having scripture with us each and every day, memorizing, meditating on scripture each and every day, having it on our phones, just being, having scripture with us. And then praying as well, shooting our prayers each and every day. I know someone who puts a reminder on their phone to pray on the hour. It's a wonderful thing. Let's do that. Let's continue to be in prayer each and every day. And let's continue to worship. Let's carve out time, intentional, undisturbed time in God's presence, because something beautiful happens there. Not just a mundane of going through the motions. I mean, I was there. Recently, I was there. Going through the motions of just being in God's presence. Okay, I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to worship. You know, no. Let's be intentional. Let's be present in God's presence. Let's plug in, church. Let's plug into his presence. The third one is ponder. What are we thinking about? We should be thinking about what we're thinking about. You know, there's a million thoughts going through our minds, million thoughts each and every day. And yes, some of them are good, but let's be honest, church. How many of those thoughts are negative thoughts? How many of them are stressful thoughts, are fearful thoughts? How many of them are thoughts that hold us back and keep us closed in and just make us feel terrible? Jesus knows that we can be healthy in our thoughts, and he encourages us to be. Colossians 3 verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Philippians 4 verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Let's ponder and think about life-giving things, things of God, things that are praiseworthy and excellent. Because God knows we can be in a healthier space in our minds. So let's ponder on the things of God. Fourth one is prioritize. Cool. Now, imagine this, church. Imagine going to a buffet, right? And everything is there. Everything is there. Your favorite food? Think about it. It's there at the buffet. Pastas, pizzas, salads, ribs. I mean, come on, ribs. Oh, Lord. Yes. It's all there. It's all there. The question is, what are you putting on your plate? Because what we put on our plate is what we put before us. And what we put before us is ultimately what we're going to eat. What are we putting on our plate? What are we prioritizing and putting on our plates? Because what we put before us is ultimately what we're going to eat. What movies are we watching? What music are we listening to? Who are we following on social media? Who are our friends in our friend circle? Because all of these are influences, and all of these are what we put before us. Are they good for us? Are they sustaining? Are they nourishing for our spirits? Because if they're not, they're junk food. Like, let's be honest, they're junk food. I'll never forget growing up, you know those little knick-knack packets? My parents bought them in bulk, kept them in the cupboard. Great stuff. My mom would cook dinner. All of a sudden, the aroma of dinner is going through the house, and now I'm hungry. So what do? Mom, can I have some knickknacks? And what would she say? Nope, that's junk food. You're going to ruin your appetite. Junk food. It looks pleasing, right? It's convenient. doesn't look harmful, right? I mean, that packet of Doritos in the cupboard doesn't look harmful, right? I mean, I don't see a packet of Doritos jumping out of the cupboard with guns blazing going, I am Dorito and I am a danger sheep, guns blazing out. Doritos are not that dangerous, right? I mean, I hope not. I really hope not. Junk food, they don't look harmful, but it is dangerous to us because it's not nourishing. It doesn't feed our souls like the main course. It's the same with the things around us. What are we prioritizing putting in front of us? What are we consuming that is ruining our hunger and thirst for Jesus, for righteousness? Is this stuff that's going to sustain us? Or is it junk food? Let's prioritize the right things and put the right things before us. The fifth one is posture. This is really recognizing our need for God. How many times do we go through the day? And I'm guilty of this literally this last week. You go through the day, 3, 4 p.m., you haven't eaten. Work, busyness and all that. You're hungry, but you haven't eaten. You're like, oh, could eat something now. And we're not recognizing that we need food in our bodies. It's the same spiritually. We go through the day and we don't recognize that we need God in our lives in each and every moment. So we need to change our posture. Instead of the posture of, I'll fit Jesus in where I can, you know, to having a posture of saying, hey, I'm going to fit the rest of my day in to my friendship with Jesus. Our posture. Recognizing that we need Jesus, shooting up those prayers each and every, throughout the day, acknowledging God through the day, acknowledging His creation as we're driving to work or our next appointment, being aware of His presence in those moments. Let's posture ourselves and recognize that we need God throughout the day. And church, when we do this, when we put these practical thoughts into practice, we're intentional about this, intentional about getting to health. When we are intentional about praying and plugging in and pondering and prioritizing and posturing ourselves, and when we're intentional about being hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for the things of God, Jesus says, you will be filled. We will be filled. And I love the fact that it's not just this filling that happens once and it's like, okay, cool, you're filled now, that's it. No, it's this beautiful and wonderful cycle. When we hunger and thirst, we are filled. And when we're filled, we hunger and thirst some more. And then we're filled some more. And we hunger and thirst some more. And we're filled some more. And we hunger and thirst and we're filled. And we hunger and thirst and we're filled. And it's a beautiful cycle. It goes on and on and on. So I have a question for us as we come to a close today, church. Hungry? How hungry are we for Jesus? How hungry and thirsty are we for His righteousness, for the things of God, our interest for God? How hungry are we for Jesus? Because if we want to be people who follow Jesus, be people who move towards Him and want to be people who are filled, we'll be intentional about being hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for Jesus. Because blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let's pray together. I want to pray for two groups of people today. First group are those who are sitting here today and you're a Christ follower and you've been following, maybe you're new to faith and this hunger and thirst is new. Or maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time, But you're sitting here today and you're saying, I want a deeper hunger and thirst for Jesus. A deeper hunger and thirst for righteousness. We've learned today that we can ask for it, that we can pray and God hears us. So we're going to do that today. We're going to pray and we're going to ask God. So if you're here today and you want a deeper hunger and thirst for Jesus, would you raise your hand right now? And my hand's up with you because I know that I want and I need a deeper hunger and thirst for Jesus. There are hands going up all over the place. It's amazing. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you in confidence, knowing that you hear us and we can ask, Lord, give us a deeper hunger and thirst for you, Jesus. Not something that's casual, but something that's deep, something that runs so much more than what we have now. Give us a hunger for you, Jesus. We thank you that you hear us, that you're good and you're kind, and that you hear us and you want us to ask for this because you will give it to us. So give us a hunger and a thirst, a deeper hunger and thirst for you, Jesus. And while we're in this moment, with every head bowed, every eyes closed, you can also put down your hands. I want to pray for a second group of people right now. And that's for those who might have never had the hunger and thirst before in their lives. And they want to start that hunger. You know, there is a start point to this hunger and thirst, and that's us surrendering our lives to Jesus. Yes, we were created to be in right standing with God. We were created to be in friendship with Jesus, but sin entered the world and separated us from that. But Jesus came in. He died on the cross. He rose again and he bridged that gap. And he says, all we have to do is confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord and we will be saved. So if you're here today and you're saying, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want to start that hunger and thirst. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And it's not to embarrass you. It's just to see you so we can celebrate with you, so we can pray with you. Will be the best decision that you would have ever made in your entire life. The best decision. So if you're here today and you're saying, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to put my faith in him. I want to start that hunger and thirst. Would you raise your hands right now? Raise your hands. Thank you so much. I see your hands. See your hand in the front here. Thank you so much. Raise your hands right now. If you say, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to put my faith in. I want that hunger and thirst. Thank you so much. I see your hand in the middle bank there. Come church, let's pray together for everyone who's made the decision today. Let's pray with them. Would you repeat this after me? Lord Jesus, today I surrender my life to you. I put my faith in you. Would you come and live in my heart? Forgive me of my sins and give me a hunger and a thirst for you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.